This is Monday, November 26th. Questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as you know, it is questions and answers. But before questions and answers, I will do a little talk. November, we said it was going to be our month to harvest things. We got that idea, or I got that idea from nature, because this is the time after planting all summer and so forth. In the fall, people harvest what they have planted. And the whole idea is that you people have planted so many seeds, thought seeds, so many things, so many dreams, so many things that you want. Now it's time to harvest those, to bring those into your life instead of just letting them out there in what I call cyberspace. So this is the month to do that. So if you have something that you're really working on, make sure now that you give yourself permission to have that come into your life. Many times we fail to give ourselves permission to have what we want in life. So I have a few things I want to read here first. The first step to creating your dreams is just putting pictures in your mind. Just putting pictures in your mind. You have to have something going on inside of you, in your mind, in your thinking, in your thoughts. And we all know that. Your thoughts are real. You have to remember that what you think about, you bring about. As you get specific about what you would like, your higher self immediately goes out and begins to create it for you. That's what you have to realize, that we're working with a creative power. And that creative power will do the work for you. All that is required from us is to get a picture in our mind of exactly what we want. And therein lies the rub. Many people do not know exactly what they want. Earlier in the month, I said, think of what you want down to the minutest detail. Fill in everything and hold that in your mind. Then know that this thing that we call God or your higher self or whatever you want to call it will start to work on that and will bring that to you, will give that to you. So all you need to do is get clear about what you want and dare to think big. That's the next thing. We fail to think big enough. You see, it's very hard to get excited about something small. But if you're thinking big thoughts, you can get excited. You can get excited about something that's big. Why do you think everyone got excited about putting a man on the moon? Because it was something big. If we had said, oh, we're going to send him to Europe, no one would get excited about that. So make your dreams big, so that you can get excited about it, so that there is that excitement going on. We must live in anticipation and in excitement, but we must know that what we think about, what we dream about, is going to come to us. And we're just filling in the details. Think of what you want as one of those old paint-by-number pictures. And you're just now going to paint in everything. And as soon as you're finished filling in all the colors, all those numbers, and you have the canvas completely done, what you want will be yours. That's how it's done. But it's done mentally. It's done in your mind. So think, what do I want? Do I want a new job? Do I want more money? Do I want a better relationship? Do I want better health? What is it that you really want? Then see it as a blank canvas with little numbers, and you're painting it in. You're going to paint the whole thing in. That's the way your mind can go to work on it. That's the way this thing we call God can go to work on it. You have to show the picture first. You see, everything out there is a blank canvas, but you have to paint it in. And as you paint that in, it takes flesh and dwells among us. it starts to manifest itself. But we have to do that for ourselves. Now, after we have that all painted in and so forth, we let that go. Now, we don't know the rest of it. It's not our job, remember? Fun and entertainment, ways and means. So now, you've given God this picture. Now, God has to do something with it. And you don't know how that's done. I don't know how that's done. Oh, I knew that that's the way it's done. And it does. Now, we're talking about thoughts. Thoughts become things. Thoughts do something. Catherine just gave me a candle, which came from Stephanie. Last night, this is one of my favorites, holiday sage. And I burn these at nighttime because I love the smell of them. Last night, there was this much left in the bottom of the candle. And I said to myself, I need a new candle. I'll have to get a new candle. Now, I put that in mind, in my mind. I saw that candle. I painted all that in. She walks through the day today and gives me a candle. Now, what did I do so that you realize? I said I need a new candle. I knew the candle. I smelled the candle. I know everything about that candle. But I didn't say I'm going out and buy it. I didn't say I'm going out and buy it. I said I need a new candle. And lo and behold, the universe heard that, didn't it? And it said, oh, he's got a clear picture. He knows exactly what he wants. He wants that candle. He wants holiday sage. Never thinking at how it's going to work. How is it going to become mine? But it became. I now have the candle. That is the way. Hello, hi, Tony. That is the way it works. Does that make sense to you? Can you see that? Can you understand that? See, you don't qualify afterwards that I'm going down. I know exactly where to get these. You can get these at down on Vine at Linens and things. You can. I could go down there and get it. But I never even thought of going down there to get it. All I said was I want. I need this candle, you see, and I held that, and now I have it. Now, that wasn't bad, was it, from last night till tonight? I was able to manifest something. But I used to be able to manifest even faster than that. It was amazing. I'll tell you a cute story. I had a small apartment that I had just moved into in Atlanta on Piedmont Park, and I was sitting there, and I was loving the place. I was looking around and I said, oh, you know, I could use a green plant there. It was beautiful. I had all these plants there. Oh, and then I could use something. You know, I like ferns. I could use a fern or something there. Not more than 5 minutes later, knock, knock, knock at the door. This man in the building says, you don't know me. My name's Woody Brooks. I do install parties and so forth. I'm an event planner. And he said, I just happen to have all these plants left in my truck. Would you like some? I said, I'll be right out. There it was, the fern and the other two things. Got them that fast. That fast. That's what you have. That's how this is supposed to work. That's the way this works. This is called metaphysics, and it's a little strange to get used to. Now, why was I able to do most of that stuff, or all that stuff, from the candle and the plants and all? Worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. So throughout this class, throughout this teaching, anywhere that this teaching is taught, the basics behind metaphysics means beyond the physical, beyond something that's seen. And we're always going to be talking about this thing that we call God, which we cannot see. But we have to realize that that's a creative power and that we can use that power. And when we rely on that power, our life changes. So you see, we're used to stress, struggle, and strain. We're used to doing everything ourselves. We're used to saying, oh, I need a candle. I'll go to the store and buy the candle. You see. So you leave no room for this creative power to work for you. So you have to leave room for the creative power. So say to yourself, this is exactly what I want. Now, I don't know how it is coming to me, and that is not my job. You see, it's not your job to know how it is coming to you. Your job is to know what you want, know exactly what you want. When you know exactly what you want, you'll get it. And these things are simple because I could fill in a candle very quickly in my mind. And I can fill in a plant very quickly and see that. So I can manifest that easily. But what about a relationship? Oh, now I have to think, what kind of relationship do I want? Loving, caring, sharing? Do I want that? How tall? How big? Do they smoke? Do they drink? You have to know all of that stuff. You have to know all that stuff. You heard me talk about my friend Joyce Reynolds. She's a motivator of one or a thousand. And she wanted to meet somebody. So she wrote down every aspect of the person that she wanted, all the qualities she wanted in that person. Not knowing where she was going to find this person or how that person is going to... Well, she ran into this man in the supermarket. And he was absolutely perfect for her. And they talked and everything was fine. The only thing, and this didn't bother her, by the way, I'm not saying that this is not a derogatory statement. She forgot to put in what color she wanted him. And of course, it was a black man. It was a black man. Now, she didn't say, well, I'm not dating him because he's black. What she said was, huh, he's got all the qualities. I'm the one who didn't write the rest of it out. She just assumed that, you see. And how many times do we do that? We start to assume something, you see. We can't assume things. Be specific in what you want. And that's what you'll get. But you have to see it. You have to be able to see and fill in every little detail. You don't leave anything up to chance or circumstance. You fill it in. And then you hand it over to the universe, and the universe knows how to do that for you. And the most amazing thing about this is, if you don't get exactly what you want, it's because this thing we call God knew how to give you something even better that you couldn't think of. And when you get something even better that you couldn't think of, you completely forget about the other thing. Because it's so much bigger. It's so much greater. And this is what you have to realize. I often tell you, you have to remember that you're always moving from your good to your greater good. You're always moving from glory to greater glory. You have to remember that. Your life is not going to stand still. So you have to say, where is it moving? And you have to know that it's moving forward and it's always moving into a greater possibility, into greater good for you. And so many people don't realize that. So learn to realize that. So the whole idea is using our thinking, using this brain that we were given, you see. They have discovered, you know, years ago, we used to say that you couldn't teach an old dog new tricks, and that after a while our brains became, you know, all that they could do. Now they realize that that's not true. It's called neuroplasticity. Your brain can figure things out at any age and can keep growing and can keep opening up new areas. So when you hear that I'm too old to learn anything, that is not so anymore. That's not so. This brain, here's something to remember. Everything that you have in your life, everything that you are now, you have and are because of your brain. You have everything that you have is because of your brain. It wasn't because of your body. It's your brain. It's your thinking that brings everything into your life. It's your thinking. So learn to use your brain. Learn to think correctly and fill the picture in. We were talking earlier about manifesting, and the whole idea is to see the blank frame, but then look at it as a numbered painting, and you're filling in all the numbers till you have the whole thing filled in. Once you have that whole thing filled in, now the universe has something to work with and can do something. But most people only get a half a picture, and then they wonder why they're not manifesting. Well, you're only going to get the half that you fill in. Does this make sense to you? You see how we do? We leave things out, and then we wonder why we don't get them, why we don't have them. You have to be absolutely specific and exact in what you want. And then you give that to this thing we call God, and God now has something to work with. Call it a blueprint, call it whatever you want, but you have to come up. You can't say to an architect, just build me a house, and have no blueprint and no ideas. You see, it won't work, will it? You have to have a plan. You have to have a picture. You have to have a blueprint of what you want, so that this thing called God can go to work on that for you. And that is the job of this thing we call God, to do that for you. It's not our job. Your job and my job is to come up with the picture, to come up with the dream, and then allow the universe to make it come true for you, to bring it into this plane of action. Otherwise, we're just daydreaming, which is fun, but we're not bringing things into our life. So be exact and don't be afraid to ask for what you want. That's what most people are afraid of. They're afraid to ask for what they want. Here, let me see. Ask for what you want, no matter how impractical or far-fetched it may seem. Your higher self will go out and begin bringing your wishes to you. See, that's what the higher self does. It brings your wishes to you. As you allow yourself to dream, you are creating a new reality. As you allow yourself to dream, you know, many mystics say that we are in a collective dream. All of us are dreaming the same thing. And that's why the world looks the way it does, because we're dreaming it right now. But we can change our dream at any time. And when we change our dream, we change the world. When we change our dream. So what are some of the dreams that are going on out there in collective consciousness? Well, one of them, of course, is my pet peeve, is war. You see, people dream war into this world. We can change that dream. We can change that dream to a world where it's peaceful, where there is no such thing as war. But we must start dreaming that, and we must start holding that, and then the universe, or this thing we call God, will make that dream come true for us. Will make that dream come true. So, during the month of November, which we have only a few days left, remember these things. And if you had a dream and you left it go and you still want that dream, resurrect it and bring it to you now. Instead of saying, oh, that was something I wanted 5 years ago and I worked on a little bit, now I'm not, you know. See what you really want. Then sit down and get a mental picture. Remember, the mental picture is from Emmett Fox in The Mental Equivalent. You don't have a mental equivalent, do you? Yes, it's a little tiny thing. I'll bring some more. I know you don't have one. Because the mental equivalent is the idea, the mental picture, It's the idea of using your thoughts and feelings with warmth. Remember, you have to feel. Why, that was why it was so easy for me to manifest this candle. Because I love smelling it. And I get a very wonderful feeling when I smell the candle. So I had a feeling connected with a thought. And now, I have the candle. You see, I have the candle. This is how metaphysics works. This is how it is supposed to work. You see, this isn't a parlor game, you see. You can make it that if you want. But if you want to really change your life and see life differently, see yourself differently, and get from life what you want, then learn these little techniques and know that you can do it too. You see, if I can do it, you can do it. I'm not special. Remember, God chose no favorites. You know, be nice if God showed favorites, but God doesn't show favorites. So what God can do for me, God can do for you. You know, I have no special talent. Some people say, oh, well, you're more spiritual. I'm no more spiritual than anybody else. I've just been doing this and practicing it longer. That's the only difference. That is the only difference. And each and every day, I make something happen so that I can prove that this teaching works. You see, if it isn't manifesting a candle, it's getting the right parking space. It's arriving at a restaurant when they say, oh, there's no tables available. Are you sure? Well, wait 1 minute. Oh, yes, here, one just became available. These are the things. This is how you use this. This is how you use this. How many people here think of somebody and they call you on the telephone? You see? That's metaphysical. That's metaphysical. My friend Joyce Reynolds, the one I talked about earlier, when her phone rings, she always knows who's on the other end. She can tell because she practices it all the time. But you can learn to do that too. When the phone rings, you'll be able to tell who's on the other end. See? So anyway, my point is, this teaching really works. It really, really works. So learn to use it. Learn to work it. All right. Now we're going to open it for questions. Who has a question?
I'm looking for a new place to live. Now how do I picture it? If I can get a clear picture in my mind, should I go through magazines and try to see and... Like, how would I do that? Would I make, like, a little board?
Yes. Many people make what's called treasure mapping or dream boards or a God box. And I often do that, cut things out of magazines and so forth. Years ago, when I was still in that apartment where I manifested the plants, that was a good apartment for manifesting for some reason, I wanted to go to Italy. So I was walking through I was looking through a magazine. And it said, Italy welcomes you. I clicked that right off and stuck it on my refrigerator. And in about 3 days, my friend Doug the Baptist called and said, Dallas, I'm going to Europe. I said, oh, where? He said, to Italy. He said, would you like to go? I said, I would love to go, but... He said, oh, don't worry about that. I'm paying for it all. He said, my company, he owns the company, is sending me there to look at paving and plants and so forth. He's a landscape architect. And he said, I need the company. I don't want to go alone. Well, I said, thank you very much. When are we going? When are we going? You have to do that. I look at Architectural Digest all the time. And I look at things. Oh, I'd like that, and then I keep that in mind. And lo and behold, you'll look around and it'll be there in front of me. Somebody will either have given it to me. Sometimes I buy things myself, you know. Like the car. I did do that with myself. But it'll come to you, so you have to get a clear picture. But one of them is, cut things out of magazines. girls and stuff who want to date and so forth, cut the models and stuff out. See what it is, and then make a list of all the qualities you want in somebody. You see. Now I'm going to tell you another way for your new apartment. You have to start with the premise that it already exists, and the right and perfect place is out there for you. So what you are seeking is seeking you. So the two of you have to come together. You see? So you sit in the apartment that you have now, and you love that apartment, and you love everything in that apartment. And if you want a bigger apartment, you love your small apartment, whatever kind of apartment you have, and you love it, and you bless it, and you release it, and you tell it, oh, you know, I had a wonderful time here, great place, great space, the whole works. And lo and behold, somebody will tell you where the right and perfect apartment is for you. I never buy a newspaper, you know. I never look at a newspaper. But I always have things come to me in different ways. And I had used to have a little blue car. And I bought a Ford. Now I had two cars. And somebody said, oh, you have to put this in the paper, Dallas. You have to run it in, what's that, Auto Traders and Penny Savers, and oh my, they came up with all kinds of things. I said, no, I don't think I'm going to do any of that. Well, how are you ever going to get rid of that car? I said, that car will sell itself. Knock, knock, knock at my door. A young man in my complex, away on the other side there, came over and said, I heard you had a car for sale. I said, yes. He said, how much? I said, $750. He said, will cash do? I said, yes, thank you. No putting it in papers, no going through all that hoorah and so forth. Rhoda wanted to get rid of her car, and she was able to do it without advertising or doing anything. She got the money she wanted in the whole works. You see, this is what you do with this thing that we call God. This is one that says you have to release it. You have to release this stuff. You see? So know that that apartment's for you. Love your new apartment. And know that it's coming, you see. And it will be there for you. But running all over the city looking for apartments, no. So you sit down, love it, know exactly what you want for the new place, and it will come to you. It will come to you.
So the old place, I have to...
love it, and bless it, and release it, and you have to tell it how much you loved it.
See? And that's the hard part.
Yes. You see, there is always this little rub. But once you love something, it will go out, you see. My cousin and his wife just sold their home in Virginia. They had it on the market for quite a while, 600 and some odd thousand. And the prices kept going down, down, down in their neighborhood. So they said, what should I do? I said, well, have you gone into every room and have you loved it? And have you told the house how happy you were there? And you love it and bless it and release it. They sold the house. They sold the house. So you have to love. Love has a power. It draws things to you. It draws things to you. But you can always, the idea of that is the same idea with the job. Love where you are to get out of it. But see, people sit around, I hate this place, I just hate this place, I have to move, I hate this place. Well, it's going to take you a long time to get out of that situation. But if you sit there and start to love it, now things will start to happen. Does that help you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Question? Anybody?
I don't even know how to phrase this, but... I can talk to you about a new place. I'm closing tomorrow on a new townhouse. My house is not sold. We haven't had a bite. My divorce is being final. I need to be out of the house probably by the end of this week.
Okay.
Haven't packed a thing. Really busy at work. Have financial anxieties of the lawsuit because the old house hasn't sold. And I just have to throw a boatload, you know, not only the down payment, I just scrape everything together. Plus it needs some work, plus all the holiday stuff that's coming up. And I'm getting crazy in my financial thinking of every thing I spend, I'm spending it, I'm going crazy of guilt, anxiety, and I need to be at peace at least until this house does, or at least to the end of the year when I'm in my new place and he takes over the house and I move out and I'm going crazy. I'm trying to really surrender it because there's just so much going on right now.
Okay, now this is what happens, and she's all stressed out about this. So first of all, you have to realize there's no strength in the mind of God, and God doesn't know about holidays. God doesn't know about financial difficulties and all of that. What God knows is, what do you want? I will give it to you. So you sit and love and bless your place and release it. You say, money's always freely circulating in my life. I always have a divine surplus. This is going to work out just swell. So you sit and you love, bless, and release that. And in your case, you have to pack one box. Why does she have to pack one box? Because she has to impress the universe that she's ready to move. You always have to impress the universe. So it's always going to be this, an equation. Nothing equals nothing. You see, you have to give something. You have to do something. You have to make a gesture. Packing one box will break that. You see. Then you also say, my house is now ready and the right and perfect buyer is here for it. It has nothing to do with the holidays. It has nothing to do with... I was in the real estate business. Everyone said, Christmas and the holidays, worst time of the year to sell real estate. You know that's an out and out lie. It's the best time of the year to sell real estate because many people buy homes to start their new year. They buy a home during the holidays. You can look this up. These are things. So remember that. So you see what's happening is you're buying into the world and you're buying into the fear, you see. And you're saying, this isn't going to happen because of the holidays. This isn't going to happen because of this, that, and the other thing. This thing that we call God does not know that we're having a holiday. You say, I doubt God has a Christmas tree. You say, or a Hanukkah bush, or whatever. God just doesn't have room for that kind of stuff, you see. So, does that help you? So, go back to that faith that you had, you see. Pack one box, love, bless, and release that place. Tell that place how wonderful it was. It took care of you. And look at it this way. You're going to make money from that place, aren't you? Don't hope. You have to know. Mm-hmm. So you have equity built up in that place. So you see how nice that place was to you? See how nice that place was to you? And that's what you have to remember. And you say, thank you. Thank you very much.
And I just need to have faith as I go through it. Because I've got to be out by next week anyway.
Yes.
So I have to do a lot of these outlays without having it solved. And I just need to do that and make do the necessities and find the money and know that.
And step out in faith. And what are we going to always remember about money in a case like this, in a situation like this? Money is never the issue, people. Money is never the issue. See, you're making it an issue, but money is not the issue. The real issue is fear and trepidation. So start to love again, and the wheels will turn again. Love just lubricates things. What can I tell you?
But it's a really wonderful new beginning for me.
Yes, and that's what you have to say. Look at that. Now a smile's coming. See, your attitude's changing. It works with your attitudes, your beliefs, your viewpoints, your opinions. That's how you make your world, you see. And when you have what she came in with, you see, stopped. Now that she's smiling and she had a little aha moment there, now everything is starting to move again and you're even feeling better, aren't you?
Yeah.
See? Yeah. I should go into this business, shouldn't I? So, another question? Come on, people, you have questions. You always have a question.
I'm thinking about it. I really have a question. I am working on something that
Maybe I do have a question. I don't know what I need to know about buying this business I'm thinking about buying.
Oh.
So I am going to meet with somebody hopefully tomorrow to help with that, but I don't have the right questions, and I want to make sure that the person I'm buying this from is giving me all the correct information.
Right.
Kind of working on a starting point. So I guess that's
yeah.
meeting with this person tomorrow. Big thing, I'm not sure how big, but I keep thinking about being in it and doing it and having it and
see?
All of those things.
All right.
But then there's this big scary thing called business plan that
yeah.
I have to put together.
But you will put a business plan together, and what you say is, I have not one idea, one iota of what I'm doing, but I know you do, God, so show me.
And then we have a hard time taking that step to even get started. So
all right.
It's on the table.
All right, so say that. I'm having a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
So help me with this. This is when you use this teaching. See, when you get stuck is when you use it. It's very easy to... When everything's going fine, this teaching sounds, oh, just marvelous. But as soon as we get a little hitch, we say, oh, throw it out the window, it won't work. It will work every time. So you don't know the questions to ask, but your higher self does. And you take your higher self to the meeting with you. And the right questions will come out. Then you have to say, the man that I'm buying this from is also God, you see. So what he is doing is honest and above board, and he's telling me the truth. The man that I'm getting my information from is God. Therefore, I'm getting all the correct information. And why is this possible for her? Because she knows that she's worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that she matters. When you don't know that you matter, you get somebody who lies to you, you see, and gives you the wrong information all. But when you know that you matter, it cannot happen to you. You see, that's what you have to realize. That cannot happen to me. You see? Just can't happen to me. Let it happen to other people, and you'll hear all those horrible stories out there. But that's those people. And that's the universe that they've created, and that's the world that they're living in. You don't have to live in that world. You can live in the world where people are honest, above board, and always helping you. Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yes.
You had a question over there?
I did. Hang on. I'm so sorry. I write so much here. I'm like, I just can't stop putting. Last week, you mentioned that... experiences don't create beliefs.
Yes.
And I've heard that before. I know that it's the truth.
Yes, I didn't make it up.
However, I notice when I do visualizations or affirmations, the ego voice comes in and says, oh, but don't you remember? This is how it was last December. And no, that way the December before. And I remember the last 6 years you haven't been able to find work in the month of December.
Yeah.
So, you know, who do you think you are? Or what I mean. Yeah. But it always comes up with proof.
Right.
And then so I start thinking, God, my experience does seem to be shaping my belief here.
Oh. Now, you were here last week. And I must have had the card, it seems to me. Last week's card was... Your mind will always prove your reality. So if your belief is there's no jobs during December, it's got to prove that to you, because that's what you are saying. See? So you have to change that. And of course your mind is always going to go back, because it likes to take the road of least resistance. And it will go back. Open up that file cabinet and pull out all the other Christmases for you and tell you, you see, that one didn't work, that one didn't work, that one didn't work, that one didn't work. Now, what do we know? All power is in the now. It has nothing to do with yesterday and all those Christmases. So the power that you have is now. So if you want a job during December, you have to know that that job is there for you. And you change your belief. As soon as you change your belief, your experience changes. But you have been experiencing this for so long that you now think that that's a belief. Does that help you? So, know that there's always that going on out there. There's always. So, you can get rid of that belief system that you have. Does that help a great
deal?
Can you maybe tell her how to talk to her mind?
Oh, yes. Thank you. I forgot to do that when the mind was... I knew there was something I missed. I like this one. You said that your mind brings that up and talks to you. You have to talk back to it, you see. Mary Baker Eddy said, you must fight with your mind like a lawyer before a judge. And you must always make sure that you win. You see, and you're listening to your mind. We are not our minds. Our minds are ours to use. So you have to stop that from happening to you. And you do that, I say, go back to the nothingness from whence you came. You were never my friend, and you have never brought me any good news. So why would I listen to you? But we think this thinking's going on in here, that it really means something. No, it's just bringing up the past. So you don't want to bring up the past.
So I tell it I'll listen to it when it brings me good news.
I bet it will never bring you good news. The ego mind will never bring you good news. The ego mind is never going to say you're wonderful. It's never going to do that to you. It's going to say, oh, you're almost wonderful, but you know your one ear is a little shorter than the other one. Or do you know you have that funny look, you know, oh, your bad tooth, or this, that, or the other thing. Oh, if people saw your toenails. You know, whatever. It's going to always do that. It's not going to say, oh, you're the most marvelous person in the world, you're whole, complete, and perfect. It's never going to do that for you. Because the ego mind is trumpeting what the world out there is saying. You're saying? And that's in collective consciousness, or what we call race mind. So your ego is part of all of that. So it's always going to do that. So you have to stop it. You have to say that. How many people are still doing wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me? You have to remember that. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. You see? And then when your mind says, oh, you're not so wonderful, you say, oh, shut up. Get out of here. Okay. But we have to argue with our minds. Till it gets easier. It gets easier all the time. My mind goes away very easily now. You know, that ego part of my mind. I don't stay stuck for days and weeks and months. You see, I can just release it.
So the part of our mind that we can train to say good things back to us, what part of our mind is that?
Ah, that's your higher self. And that's that higher part of you. And you have to know that you're not your mind, you're not your body, you're somewhere else. And I always look at it this way. I'm over here. And I'm looking at myself and seeing myself all the time. And I'm putting the thoughts into my head, you see. So what comes out here is because of what's back here. If I don't do that, then I'm just sitting here saying nonsense, you see. You have to know that you're the one who's doing that. I'm the one that's making my mind think. My mind isn't thinking by itself. I'm making it think. And you can make it think anything you want. Here again, we'll repeat this. The whole idea of this teaching is to learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. And to feel the feelings that you want to feel. But you allow thoughts to come in that you don't want. You see? Look at it this way. If you had a guest in your house that you didn't like, you would ask them to go. But if you have a thought you don't like, you entertain it for weeks. You entertain it for weeks instead of saying, huh, get out of here. Go. Leave me, you see. We're not taught that we can do that, but we can do that. We we can learn to control our thinking. It's all done with controlling your thinking and learning to think God thoughts after it. So that's what you will do at your meeting. That's what you will do with your home. That's what you will do with your new apartment, you see. And you'll get those things. You actually will get those things. Just the way it works. It's a mathematical equation. The law of cause and effect is mathematical. Give it to exactly what you want, it will give you that. Give it half of that, you only get half. You won't get what you want. You see? It all works mathematically. Another question.
I want to revisit your Italy.
Oh, sure.
Story. I have a friend who's trying to manifest a week in Palm Springs around January, and she does not feel she has the money to do that, you know, just outright to buy for it. And I was just wondering what sort of steps she could take to make that real so that she could manifest it. In addition, like, you know, cutting out, I like the idea of cutting out pictures. And
yeah.
Is there other things she could do?
Yes. First of all, we have January, so you have a whole month. It usually only takes 21 days to bring something into your life. So use that because of the egg. You know, chicken egg only takes 21 days to hatch. So it only takes 21 days to bring something into your life. So now she's got a lot of time. So she has to sit down and correct her thinking, first of all, by never saying, I don't have the money. If you constantly say, I don't have the money, what are you? You're saying, I don't have the money. What's the universe saying? Now, you're right. You don't have the money. She sees herself there. She feels herself there. She knows that she has the money. And she looks through. Does she know where she wants to stay? Or she just says, I want to go to Palm Springs, but I don't have the money. I want to go in January, but I don't have the money. So therefore, there's no sense for me to get brochures, find out what the prices are, see what the room looks like that I want to be in, you see. I often, when I want to do something in some other town or something, I call the Chamber of Commerce and I have them send me every bit of material that they have. Then I look through all that stuff, you see, and then I manifest what I want. Do you have to, is she doing any of those things? Or she just stopped because of the money?
I think she just came up with this idea.
Right. So here again, we know money is never the issue. Because they could be having a promotion at some hotel. She gets two nights for the price of one. She could get there with two nights for the price of one and they have something else going on and they give her a free room. Or board comes with it, food comes with it. I mean, there are just... You have to, the possibilities, you just have to think nothing but possibilities in these cases, you see? And not make money the issue. Because as soon as you say, I don't have the money, your mind stops. What's it going to say to you? You see? So don't think about the money. Where am I going to stay in Palm Springs? Am I going to meet interesting people? Where am I going to eat? What does my room look like? Send to some of those places and get an idea of what the room, they'll send you everything. They'll send you everything. This is how you do it. Which is how you keep it going. You do that. You got your house.
And four horses.
And she only wanted one. Yes, didn't you? You were only going to get one horse. And see, once you start the universe, now is that not abundance and prosperity? You see? One horse, oh, I think I'll give her four. It's using your noodle, using your head. But what is the bottom line when you're doing that?
Worthy, deserving, completely lovable, and I matter.
Yes. always. You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. That is where it all has to start. Once you know that, then you get the horses, you get the townhouse, you sell your home, you get the apartment, you get your job, you see. But we listen to the outside world. Never listen to the outside world. What new good news has the outside world ever brought you? None. I have a cousin. I have several. This particular cousin loves to send me things. She's a Republican. And she, you know, she's absolutely scared to death, I guess, of terrorism and all the, you know, and the... I think I told you about her before. She's the one that both her and her husband get up and watch the stock market every morning. You know, I could think of better things to do. But anyway, today she sent me an email, and you went in, and it's a big map of the world with all the trouble spots. And it's changed every 30 seconds. Now, who sits around looking at this? I mean, you know, in his eyes, little fire things, or this is going on, or that's going on, or this school was closed. A school in Australia was closed because of something. You know, I just played with it a minute. Then you could get a satellite view of the whole thing. You know? Now, if you're sitting around looking at that stuff and doing that, you're dragging that into your world. You're dragging that into your mind. That's part of the dream. And you start to dream terror, and you start to dream all those things. But I could not believe that now you can go to a map that changes every 30 seconds, telling you what's going on all around the world. They had things, you know. I want a map that tells me all the good things that are going on around the world. You see? Still haven't been able to explain that to my cousin, but she keeps sending me that stuff, and she thinks I'm interested in it. I don't know, and she knows I do this for, you know, she knows that I do this type of teaching, so I never get that one. But I thought that was funny today. You can't be watching stuff like that. You can't. It taints your thinking. It taints your mind. You're saying, and it absolutely does hypnotize us. It hypnotizes us all, and we think, oh, that's what's going on. That's what's going on.
Like watching TV.
Watching TV will hypnotize you in no time. I just love the one. I thought, well, it may work for them, but that anyone in their right mind gets up to go to a store at 4 o'clock in the morning is absolutely beyond me. I said to myself, my God, they didn't get up that early for the Crusades. Why are they getting up to go shopping at 4 o'clock in the morning? But the television keeps telling you and telling you and telling you. Do you say, oh, I think we'll get up and go shopping at 4 in the morning? It's ridiculous, isn't it, when you think about it?
They start sleeping over at 9 in the night before.
They say, yes. I mean, it's just, all that stuff amazes me. All that stuff amazes me.
I don't know if it's in this class that we discussed it, but I've heard the suggestion of giving yourself permission.
Yes, always. That was us.
Okay. When I try to do that, I don't know why, what happens, but it goes blank, it freezes. It's like I can't even comprehend the idea of giving myself permission for anything.
All right. So you have to start somewhere, and we'll start you at a different level. You have to get up every morning and say, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. Once you get that under your belt, then you go to worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. If you feel that you don't matter or have any of those qualities, and you say, I'm going to give myself permission for this, the mind says, why? Who are you? Who are you? And it's not going to give you permission. But once you know those items, you see, then your mind will say, oh, okay, I get it. You are. You do matter. So yes, you can give yourself permission for this. So I know that this is very basic, and I do this all the time for you. But I do it because there's no one out there telling you that. There's no one out there telling you that. Do you know that there would be very few people in mental hospitals and very few people in therapy and so forth if they knew they were worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter? Very few people. Most people go to a therapist because they don't think that they matter. But they have no life, they have no nothing, no one loves them. So they go there to get that little bit of affection that they can get. Yes.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes, you may.
Since I've been coming, I've totally latched on to the whole worthy, so forth, because I know how critical that is, and love that you focus on that and remind us constantly. And so I've been practicing it, and again, it just kind of, it's like, there's not any buying into it or believing it. So what came to me in a meditation one morning this week was, and it's so funny you mentioned a jury a minute ago, that what came in was, oh my God, it's almost as if my spirit is the defense, ego is prosecution.
The judge.
And would these two lawyers come in and expect to win the case just by walking around the jury and say, oh, my client's worthy. No, they'd have to build a case. And so I went through and wrote out what I think my response would be to that, but I'd love to hear if you were going to tell someone why they're worthy, why they're lovable, why they're deserving, and how do they know that they matter? I'm curious what you're...
Okay. Now, not only with worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, those four items, the reason why most people cannot remember them, it took you forever to remember them. It takes you forever to remember them. You have difficulty remembering them also, even though you sit there and write them down. The reason is because you don't have what's called a hook inside of you for this to hook on. So when I say you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter, it goes right out. Because there's no hook. You have to have a hook for it to hook on. So visualize a hook, and it's going to stay inside of you. You see, it's going to stay inside of you. How many people hear when somebody says, oh, geez, you're really pretty? Because that person absolutely meant it. But you don't know that because you have no hook to hold that. You see? You have to develop hooks inside of you to hold the stuff. Otherwise, it just goes right through you. And that's why it's so difficult to learn those four items. You see? You first build that. You have to visualize hooks. And then you hear that. And when I say to you somebody, you're lovable, what does that mean? That means exactly that. Most people feel unlovable because they've been in strange relationships with their parents, they've been in strange relationships with their spouses, with their children, with everything. They never get the idea that they are lovable. If they keep doing things for somebody, how many people, oh, you only love him because I do this for you. See, it has nothing to do with that. You have to just know that you're lovable for no reason whatsoever. It's like you can be happy for no reason whatsoever. You don't have to come up with reasons. You have to make up your mind. Oh, I'm lovable. Yes, well, I certainly am. So you start with the whole premise of how unique you are, that you're an individualized expression of God, that never has there been anyone like you. Never will there be anyone like you again. Therefore, you're called the rarest of the rare. What you really are is a unicorn because there's only one of you. You're saying, there's only one unicorn. There's only one of us. There's only one of us. That's what you have to know about yourself. How unique you are. And then start to see your uniqueness. Start to see the wonderful talents and creativities and all the stuff that you can do. We concentrate always on what we can't do. And we always concentrate on what we don't have. The idea is to concentrate on what you do have and to concentrate on what you want, not what you don't want. You see, you can go up to somebody and say, what do you want? What don't you want? Well, I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want that. You can rattle that off, but you cannot rattle the other off. So you have to train your mind to be able to rattle off what you do want, regardless, as it says, how far-fetched it is. And you don't have to come up with why do you want it. That was something that we learned as children. When we wanted something, your parents would say, why? You see. So then you had to come up with, oh, now I have to come up with that. Why do I want this? Why do I want it? I just want it. I just want it. You don't have to justify wanting things. You see? And then you hand that right over to this thing that we call God, and God goes to work on that for you. God goes to work on that for you. And you all have had those experiences in your life, and you've all done wonderful things in your life with this. You have to go back and remember those times when you did get what you wanted. And you have to say, thank you very much. A couple months ago, I gave out an affirmation, which I do daily, and I love it. And it's, thank you very much for everything. I have no complaint. Thank you very much for everything. I have no complaint. You see? And then have no complaints.
Can I add something about the hook concept? If you find you're not able to hold one of those things, that you're wonderful, worthy, deserving, completely lovable, or matter, or anything like a compliment, say thank you. If you say thank you to that and really mean it, it will create a hook in you. Don't qualify the thank you. Don't say, thank you, I got a new outfit. It's like, just accept the compliment. And don't feel like you have to turn it around and give it to the other person because you're not building the hook. Just say thank you.
When you give a compliment, when somebody gives you a compliment and you give it back to them, that's called passing the hot potato. I like you, no, I like you, no, I like you, don't you? See, and it just keeps going back and forth, and it never goes to either of you. So when somebody gives you a compliment, you say, oh, thank you very much. Thank you for noticing. You see. That's it, and then you start building. You have to build those things inside of you, okay? I have some affirmations. I value my time and energy. Remember, this course is called Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. And so many people do not value their time and their energy, and they give their time away for free. You cannot give yourself away for free. You have to value your time and know that it's important. I am a valuable person. My path is important. So whatever path you're on, you have to know that your path is important. It's not my path. It's your path, and your path is important. You see, everyone wants to be on somebody else's path or wants to be where somebody else is. No, know that your own path is important. You see? And know that you're a valuable person. Why are you a valuable person? Because this thing called God would be incomplete without you. God needs each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. All answers are within me. I follow my inner wisdom. You may have that one. I allow myself to think and dream in unlimited ways. I allow myself to think and dream in unlimited ways. Learn to dream. Learn to think big. And learn to think with unlimited thinking, that everything is possible. This thing we call God, we say about all things are possible with God. We live, move, and have our being in a field of all possibilities. Of all possibilities. So make your dreams come true for you. know that you are valuable, that you are worthy, that you are deserving. Know all those things about yourself. Hold yourself in the highest of esteem. And your dreams will come true for you. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.